As one of Britain's best-loved all-round entertainers, my guest today is someone who's had a career that spans nearly half a century. He's worked alongside the greats from musical to comedy and has become a household name himself. His catchphrases have become so popular amongst the public, they're even included in the Oxford Dictionary of Quotations. From dancer to singer, to game show host to musician, to actor, to even a sportsman. It seems that his talents have no boundaries. Today, I am very honoured to be talking with the legendary Bruce Forsyth.
Matt, I'm overwhelmed. Such a wonderful introduction. And you know, you said it just the way I wrote it.
Oh.
No, I could never write anything like that about myself. That's very gracious of you.
Well, it's all true as well. I mean, your CV looks like a book.
Well, it probably is rather long. But it's been a long time, you see, Matt. But I've been very lucky because every generation from 1958 has grown up with me. Not all of them, because you can't please everybody. Not everybody likes you. But I've been very blessed in that way.
And it's been 47 years since you debuted your talents to the world. And so many things that you are famous for instance, comedy and dancing, etc., has changed dramatically over the years, especially in Britain. Now, do you say to yourself, I'm proud of what I've achieved and now I can just relax, or do you feel there's still a lot more to do?
There's not much more to do, Matt. I don't feel like doing much more. The amazing thing is what you've just said. I've just finished doing a documentary on the history of dance.
Oh, right, okay.
Check out about how tap dancing started. Later on, the jive and all these things started, street dancing and all that. And it's been terribly interesting, but most of it comes back to the fact, actually, that there's nothing really that new. Things go back. I mean, I did some boogaloo with a wonderful guy over in Los Angeles, and I started to do some of it. He said, hey, he said, just a minute, you can do it. I said, this is eccentric dancing. This is what we used to do as comedians, and it was so similar to what he was doing. So nothing is really new. Dancing and that kind of thing is always being rejuvenated, but basically goes back to the roots.
Now, you've, I suppose, a bit unfairly been typecast as a game show host in Britain. Do you regret going down that path now?
Yes, I do. I realise now, especially in the twilight of my career, I do regret doing as many game shows as I did. I wish I'd have done more entertainment shows.
But would you say it's helped cement your mark within the world
of
show business?
Well, I mean not doing any game shows at all, but I did so many.
Mm.
I did so many game shows over the year, and I should have spaced them out a bit more, leaving room for me to do more entertainment shows. The best one I ever did from my point of view, and the one I'm proud of being associated with and having such a wonderful time, was the show I did with Sammy Davis Jr., where we did an hour, just the two of us. We could sing together, dance together, do impressions together. I could play piano for him when he sang. He could play instruments for me when I sang. And then the comedy as well that we could both do together.
You're still in the public eye, and most recently with Strictly Come Dancing, which I believe is coming back again this autumn.
That's right.
It seems to really get your name in the news today. You have to do some sort of reality TV. Now, what do you think of that genre?
I'm not a fan. There's a little bit of reality in Strictly Come Dancing. Just a little piece of it is reality when you're like a fly on the wall watching what they're getting up to.
Mm.
But that is only a small piece of the show. But reality in general, I can't bear it. It is so slow and it's so far away from the entertainment I've always grown up with.
So if approached, would you say no to reality TV?
No. I'd scream and run out the room or if somebody asked me on the phone, I'd cut the cable.
Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you, so it's all okay. With the amount of shows that you've done, do you still get, or did you ever get, stage nerves at all?
Yes, I've always said that every show I've ever done, you get nervous before you go on. I think once you stop being nervous, then you shouldn't be in show business. That doesn't mean to say you go to pieces, but you should just be doubtful about, you know, whether it's going to be a good night or a bad night.
So before a show, you don't look in the mirror and go, Brucey, it's going to be okay, it's going to be fine, they're going to love you. You don't talk to yourself or anything like that?
Well, no, because I've always said there's another me. I mean, people look at me on television and they think, oh, I bet he never stops. But actually, behind that complete facade, I'm a very relaxed person. Then this other me, and as soon as I walk on, this other me takes over. You know, if he doesn't turn up one night, I'm going to be in trouble, I tell you.
If you could repeat one moment in your life again, be it professional or personal, what would it be?
Well, there's several, you see. It's like asking me which is my favourite golf course. Got so many all over the world. So it's very difficult. I suppose the morning my son was born was a very, very special moment for me. Mind you, I have five daughters as well, but I was actually at the birth for the first time with Jonathan.
With regards to your son, are you training him up to be the next Bruce Forsyth?
No, he's a guitar player. Which way he's going to go, we don't know, because he's only just finished school. But he is very musically minded, which I'm very thrilled about.
So who would you say could be the next Bruce Forsyth?
Well, I don't know, because I don't think anybody today is studying to be an all-rounder.
They specialise in one art form.
Yeah, they specialise, or most people today, which is a shame, want to get into television to be a presenter. How many people are really going into comedy? How many people are combining comedy with music ability and going into dancing and thinking in that way? But then again, they don't get the chance to do the groundwork to become all-round performers, you see. I'd rather young people say, I want to be a performer. It's so different now. I'd hate to be coming into the business now. I really would.
It's a bit of a tough cookie to break, isn't it?
But yes, well, exactly, because there's so many. It's like my son, if he goes into the music with his guitar, and there's so many groups. Every street practically has got a group. I'd hate to be coming into the show business now. I'd hate it.
Going back to your dancing, what advice can you give to all the men out there, okay, who, like myself, are a little bit embarrassed to dance and therefore don't do anything on the dance floor? What advice would you give to them?
Well, I was amazed before we even started Strictly Come Dancing that there were a million people in Great Britain that went to dance classes. And you've just reminded me, I've got to find out from our researchers how many people now are going to dance classes. There are people that will never dance. I mean, the bigger your feet, what size shoe do you take, Matt?
I'm a size 10.
So that's all right.
Yeah.
That's fine. If your feet are really big, the chances of you really becoming a good dancer are a bit remote.
So what size feet do you have, Bruce?
I've got, size 9, 9.5. That's fine, that's the right middle of the range. But anybody can, I say anybody could dance. If you've got a sense of rhythm and you were to go to dance classes, you can pick it up.
As a skilled dancer and the host of Strictly Come Dancing, what are your views on pole dancing? Art or fart?
Well... You said the art. I don't know. I mean, I went to a place where I did my first few weeks as a comedian, and that had turned into a pole dancing club, and I was absolutely staggered when I walked into the place and I saw this pole in the middle of the floor, and I said, oh, I didn't know this was a fire station.
Have you ever tried to pole dance?
No. Well, I did a try a bit in this documentary.
You didn't wear a bikini or anything like that?
No, I didn't go past that.
In 1986, you tried to break through in America by having your own show over there called Bruce Forsyth's Hot Streak. Now, that only ran for 3 months. What do you think was your biggest obstacle?
The main trouble with the show, it was a morning show, and the men won, because it was teams of men playing against women. It was a good show, actually, a very good show, but the men won every week, so it didn't last.
Moving on to your famous catchphrases, what were your inspirations behind them? I mean, did you set out to make a catchphrase?
Now, most of them happened by chance. The only premeditated one was, nice to see you nice. And then it caught on because of a TV Times commercial. And then because the series came out where I said it at the start of every show, then after just a few weeks it stuck. And that's back in the, back in the 60s. And you see, back in the 60s, and it's lasted all this time.
And do you now feel pressured that when you make a public appearance to use these catchphrases?
Oh, well, you have to use them. I mean, when you go on, I slip them in now and again. The nice to see you is always a good opening line because it breaks the ice with the audience.
If you had to pick a famous person's catchphrase that you wish you had thought of, which one would it be?
Oh, let me see. Have you got a choice there?
I'm afraid I haven't.
Oh, I think Eric and Ernie's. What do you think of it so far?
Fair enough.
I think that's a great one. The only trouble is with that one is when you say that to an audience, they're all going to shout back, rubbish.
Russ Abbott blatantly ripped off your strongman arm gesture, okay, when you enter the studio. So who do you think would win in an arm wrestle, you or Abbott?
Oh, well, Abbott is a little bit taller than me, and I think he's stronger than me, and he's young. I think he's younger than me, isn't he? Have you got his age there?
I don't have his age, I'm afraid.
But I think he beat it at arm wrestling.
You think, even though, because you're quite fit, I mean, you've kept yourself very well, haven't you? And you're doing all the golf, so you must have a pretty strong arm there.
Yes, although I keep going to do some arm exercises, because I've always believed that the forearms are the secret of golf. In fact, I'm going to start again tomorrow. As regards me, I've never overeaten. I don't overdrink. I like to have a drink now and again, although as you get older, I've found I drink even less than I used to. So, you know, I do keep myself in check.
Talking about wine or anything like that, just out of pure interest, did you ever have a few too many and then try to play snap with those giant cards after filming Play Your Cards Right?
No, I never played snap with those cards.
It could have been interesting.
They, people often used to ask, how are they shuffled? they were shuffled, but it took two people to do them. And I always used to say, we've got a 10-foot gorilla at the back of the stage, and he shuffles between every show, you know.
What made you decide to ever do that strongman pose? At the beginning of the Generation Game, wasn't it?
It was at the start of the Generation Game, and they said, we want you to start at the back of the set. It'll be dark, and then the spotlight will hit you. And then we just want you to stand there for 10 seconds. And then walk forward. And I thought, stand there, I'm going to feel, you know, I don't like to just stand there and do this, you know. And so just before the light came on, and just for a laugh, I went into this pose, and everybody laughed. And then afterwards they said, oh, that was funny, you did that, so and so and so and so. I said, well, then I'll do it. I said, it's better than standing there saying, you know, here I am.
It's become as popular as one of your catchphrases now.
Oh, exactly. I call it a silent catchphrase.
We've mentioned golf. Out of pure interest, what's your handicap?
My handicap is 12. Just lately, I've been hitting the ball very well.
Okay, so that's a very good handicap.
Yeah, very good.
Very good. Okay, and your wife, how did you meet your wife?
We met at the Miss World contest in 1981.
Okay, now being a Miss World, or a former Miss World, not you obviously, your wife, were you nervous at all?
I've always had this theory. I think most men are scared to talk to a really beautiful girl. I think they get a bit of a complex in it, you know. They think, which is quite true, that a beautiful girl has so many compliments from so many men. But there again, I've been in a profession where I've mixed with beautiful women all my professional life. So, yes, when I first met her, she was stunningly beautiful, and still is today. I was saying a few marks because she was one of the judges. Don't think that she was one of the contestants and she became Miss World because I voted for her and I fixed all the judges, Matt. I hope you're not thinking
No, I'm
that.
Not thinking that at all.
She was one of the judges at the Albert Hall for the Miss World on the same night that I was one of the judges.
And so what was the chat-up line that you used?
Well, part of the judging was with the girls privately before they came on stage. Mm-hmm. And I was coming out with a few remarks and making the judges laugh a bit and all that sort of thing, and I could see that she was laughing at a few of the things I said.
Yeah.
And then we happened to be sitting at the same table after the Miss World contest, and the guy she was with, who I thought was maybe her boyfriend, wasn't with her, and she was sitting at the table alone, and so was I.
So you thought to make a move, even
and
though she
I
had a boyfriend.
So I'd sort of walked round the table to her, and I'd been smiling at her all night long, and I said, would your boyfriend mind if I asked you for a dance? And she said, he's not my boyfriend, and he was actually a Chinese guy. I said, oh, really? I said, well, where's he gone? She said, he's gone to find Miss Hong Kong. I said, well, I hope he's taken a slow boat to China. So that was the chat-up line. Asked her for a dance, and then we danced for two hours. We didn't even come off the dance floor.
So do you ever, like, now go into the bedroom at night and do the strongman pose?
No, I'd never do that.
You know?
She'd only laugh.
No pole dancing or anything like that?
No, I haven't got a pole in the bedroom.
Okay. Well, as a final thought to you, Bruce, how would you say you've contributed to the good of mankind?
To the good of mankind? I think from a point of view of a television audience, I've been able to communicate to a lot of people. But I'm grateful, and if I've contributed to the fact that I've entertained and been able to give pleasure to people over the many years I've been in the business, if that contribution has meant something, then that makes me happy.
Bruce Forsyth, thank you very much for joining me today.
Okay, Matt, have I got the rest of the day off? That was a long interview, wasn't it?
It was about a half an hour interview.
Yeah, at least.
Thank you very much for doing
Thanks
the interview,
a lot,
Bruce.
Matt. Good luck with it all.
Thank you very much. You too.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.